Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you all to another show and episode. This is the Man Talk segment of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson show. Listen, tonight we are going to get down and dirty into some really, you know, some the conversation that we really need to have. And I'm excited about that. But I couldn't do this without my right-hand man, my ace, you know, my man who rides with me all the time that we're doing this, Brother Edward Scissorham Smith. Brother Edward, you there?
What's going on, brother? What's up? What's up, man? Listen, man, I'm delighted to be on tonight, brother. You know, we're just going to talk about, you know, some stuff, man, and, you know, from a male perspective, we're going to unpack some stuff and see how we can be better men, brother.
Yeah, I think that's important, man. As you said, we want to be better men, not bitter men. So for those of you who are listening for the very first time, normally we play a little bit of this. Let me just give you a little bit, because some of the brothers are used to this. And so we always got to play like a little theme music right here. Then we're going to drop something else in a little bit. So without further ado, let me just let the theme go before I do the introduction of the show. This is it. Hey, that's our theme music when we do the Man Talk segment, because it's really, you know what, Man Talk is about helping men to empower men, get in the game, really want to help them express their inner voice, articulate their opinions, challenge them on their perspectives, and walk in the unadulterated love of Jesus Christ, both on and off the field. So that's what we do. This show is all about you as a man. We always come together on the fourth Monday of the month to agree that we can agree to disagree. And at the end of the day, we can become better, not bitter. We can walk it with clarity and with purpose in our lives, because iron sharpens iron. So we don't come as experts in any arena. We just come to share and have a platform so that we can discuss things, because we know what happens when men don't get a chance to talk amongst each other, when men don't get a chance to have a resource or an outlet that can pour into them and that they can pour into someone else. So this is a really important piece. Some folks don't see necessarily the vision to understand how important it is for brothers to come together. But when a man does not come together, the problem is that the issues become bigger and bigger, and that all we continue to do is break things. So I'm excited. We're going to talk tonight about the power of the imagination and the pain of the image. Now, that in itself is just a mouthful, and Ed and I are going to unpack that, the power of the imagination and the pain of the image. Now, Brother Ed, this is a song that I have, man. I got to drop this in. This one we're going to drop in for free, because I went back to get this song. And let me see if you know this. Let's see.
Oh, most definitely, brother. Yeah, boy, that's a song. That's a song, brother.
I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellows in the world, she's in love. Just my imagination.
They don't know nothing about that, man. They have no
man,
they
know nothing they
don't
about
know.
That.
Nah, they don't know. They weren't ready for that, man. That's a little Temptations action right there for Just My Imagination, Running Away From Me. Dear Lord, hear my plea. You know, listen, let's get into the discussion tonight because, I'm excited that we get an opportunity every now and then to break bread with the fellas. And we know it doesn't happen often enough, but I think it's really important. So we really don't care whether there's one brother listening to the show, whether there's thousands of people who listen to the show. We have an assignment, and that's what we are here to do. Whether we've got, a rack of people that are on Facebook chiming in. But if you are online right now listening in, we want to give you a shout-out. Welcome to the show. Again, this is the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show, and tonight is the Man Talk segment. So it's all about men tonight. We're going to go from 9 o'clock to 10. Unless it gets really good to us, then we'll extend it. But other than that, this is a one-hour segment tonight. We want to talk about the power of imagination and the pain of the image. So I think, Ed, when we really, really jump into this thing, let's break this down. And fellas, feel free. If you want to, throw a comment or a question in there, feel free. Jump right on in. Just dial in 619-924-0869. All you got to do is press option 1 on your phone, and we'll join you into the call. Now, just remember, though, as we said earlier, we can agree to disagree. We can challenge the message, but we never attack the messenger. Those are the housekeeping rules, and that's real simple. Those are the rules, and we create what's called a safe zone here. So that means that everyone has an opinion, and we just respect that. So having said that, Ed, look, man, I thought about this thing when I was sitting. What do we want to talk about? We've been talking about a lot of things with the brothers. So, when I thought about this whole imagination thing, it jump-started something. I was saying, wow, that's a pretty heavy topic, man, the power of imagination. So I think really in order for us to do this thing some justice, I always say what you don't define will ultimately define you. I think it's really important that if we're going to break this thing down and talk about the power of imagination, because there are a number of different ways that we really can go with this, So what is the imagination? What is imagination? So, hey, I'll throw that out to you. We're going to talk about imagination tonight, guys, and we're going to talk about also the difference between imagination and vision, because they're similar, but they're not the same. So, Ed, I'm going to throw it out to you. When you think about imagination, man, what comes to mind?
Well, brother, let me first say that no vision can come to fruition without an imagination. I think imagination is the foundation. Imagination is where everything starts. And then that imagination manifests itself into a vision, because when it moves from imagination into a vision, now, even though it's still in your mind, but now it's about to jump out of your mind into reality, because once you start to envision something, even though it's not there, but it becomes greater it's almost tangible, for lack of a better word, where you can touch it, because it seems so real to you in your mind. You can pop it out of your mind into reality. So like I stated before, imagination is the beginning of a process that turns itself into a vision, and from a vision into manifestation into reality.
Yeah, I think, man, that's no doubt. I mean, we think about great legacies that have started and created great companies that have started and left legacies. Now, first thing, you know, when I think about imagination, honestly, what comes to mind for me is Disney. You know, no company bar none. I mean, back in 1923, when Walt Disney had this imagination of creating this company, you know, he created something. I don't know if he knew how big it was, but he imagined it, you know, and that it, you're right. So the ultimate piece is the imagination is something that, you know, by definition, it's the making, it's a pictorial faculty of the mind, okay? So it's the mind seeing an image in a picture, and what happens is it reproduces some of the former thoughts or experiences. And so what now we've got, you know, the mind is different than the brain, as we know. So I don't want to go too deep on that. But when we think about imagination in terms of, you know, relationships and things of that nature, and we can't help but to talk about vision. And so, again, we are laying the foundation because vision is really what's important. Now, that vision piece is like considered to be like a supernatural presentation of scenery or circumstances to the mind of a person while awake. Okay, I'm going to say that again. So the vision, now, Bob, let me just drop this on you. I'm getting the definitions that I'm using from the Strong's Concordance. Okay, there's Vine's. Vine's Dictionary and Strong's Concordance, those are the resources, the tools of where I'm gathering the information from. So if anybody wants to reference that, that's where you can start, okay? So vision, again, was a supernatural representation of certain scenery or circumstances to the mind of a person while awake. So all this is coming to the mind. You know, the power of the imagination and the mind. Now, here's something that I noticed, though, and when I was doing my research on this, I'm saying, okay, guys, I ain't necessarily really getting all of this, really, because of the imagination. Now, when we think from a brother's perspective, right out the bat, out of the gate, when you think of, you know, back in the day when you used to holler at shorty or whatever, you know, term that you would use from, you know, your neck of the woods, you would think, hey, okay, cool, you know, I got an imagination for what I can see doing with her, you know, or you can imagine when you're with someone that you're with, you can imagine something else because men, we already know, are visual. We already see something. We're visual that we see. So I'm like, okay, so how did this whole imagination thing come to play, and what does it really mean? Now, I never looked up the definition because I automatically assumed that it meant, hey, it's an image in my head that I could see or something. So here's something that I learned when I started doing the research on this thing. So when you go into studying something in, from a biblical context, now, brothers, you already know we got to keep this based on a foundation of biblical principles. All right, so we got to just have a conversation around it to know. We make no pulls or apologies about it. This is a Christian-based show. So what I've got to do is lay drop the foundation that the first mention in the Bible is in Genesis 6, chapter 5, verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. And it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was created in the earth. It was created in the earth. Now watch this. And that every imagination, I capitalize imagination on that because it's an imagination of thoughts. Here it goes back to the mind, the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So then God destroyed man with a great flood. And I said, wow, whoa, wait a minute. So I always thought imagination to relate to that was always something that was good. But when you look up imagination, now there's the first mentions. And then you see, if you look, all right, for any of y'all biblical scholars out there, just go to the concordance, check that out, and then you'll see some references when he says the heart. Now, he mentions heart here in chapter six, verse 5. In Jeremiah, all throughout, every time imagination is used, it refers to an evil and wicked heart. Hold on now. I'm not following you. And then the word continually, so if you gotta break these words down, right? Continually doesn't mean it's ongoing because there's a process that it may stop, but it's a consistent process, continuous. So that means I have these these thoughts that come to mind. It is a consistent process that if I'm not capturing that thought, that thought ultimately leads to some level of wickedness. Now, in the Strong, it referenced the word lust next to imagination.
I
was like, whoa, wow. So, I mean, think about this for the brothers. We see a young lady who's shapely. We could be, it don't matter where we are, we can be in church and see a young lady, and immediately, if you're not careful, your imagination can start to see images through past experiences, because you got to capture that thought and put it under subjection before that thought captures you.
Mm.
Okay? And I digress, man. Come on with it.
Yeah, here's what it is, brother. And so you said a lot of stuff that is so important, man, and, you know, and which led to the fact that, you know, obviously there are good imagination and there are bad imagination. No wonder the Bible said, let this mind be in you as it is in Christ Jesus. You know, and there's another saying that goes that you should watch your thoughts because they become your word. You should watch your words because they become your action. You should watch your action because they become habits. Watch your habits for they become character. Watch your character because they become your destiny. Follow what I'm saying? So everything starts right back to the mind. Starts right back to the mind, your imagination, and you are in control, Brother Rich. You are in control of your mind, your imagination, and so no wonder the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, as it is in Christ Jesus." Because if we allowed incorruption or bad or negative imagination manifest itself in us, you know, you know, of course it's going to exude, you know, it's going to come over into our character and of course spill over into our destiny.
And Brother Ed, it doesn't take much. See, look, watch this, fellas, watch this. So God created man in the very beginning in his own image. So we were created in the game of life in the image of God. So we're fortunate in itself. We look, you know, looking like God. That is an honor in itself for you to be man. And so in chapter 3 was of Genesis was the fall of man. It didn't take long from the time God created us for us to fall. Now watch this. We go over to chapter 6 again. We ain't even got through the first 10 chapters of the book, okay? Yet alone for us to fall, and then what happens? God sent a flood to wipe everything out. Because you know what? In chapter 6, verse 6, it says, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man. The Lord was sorry. Like, wow. See, I'd never read that before, Ed. So is God sorry that he made you?
Yes, sir.
Is God sorry
yes, sir.
Now that he made you? And then it says, as man on the earth, that he was grieved in his heart. So it hurt God that we as men, we were called according, we were built by him, we were called by him, an image of him, and yet he's disappointed with us because we aren't leading up to and living up to the we aren't living up to the imagination of what God had created and purposed us to do. Now, he is God. So he's all right.
Hey, Chris, check this out, brother. And I need to bring this, and we need to let's bring this to reality so that you know it can jump out and you know more at us, brother. I know you have two beautiful daughters, brother. I admire your daughters, two beautiful daughters. I have three daughters and a son, and so I know you love your children dearly, Chris. I love my children dearly. Imagine. My children, your children, Chris, have become so evil because of their imagination. They have become so evil in life that you can look at your child. I can look at my child and say, I am sorry the day that you were born. I am sorry the day that I made you, you know, by lying with your mom. And so basically that's what God is saying to us, because of the disappointment that we brought on earth, you know. God is saying that, you know, I am sorry the day that I made you. And it takes a lot. It's heavy, brother. And it takes a lot for God to, I can only imagine, you know, that it must have taken, well, I'm going to say it for a fact, that it took a lot for God to say that, because God made us, Chris, for relationship purpose. And God says to us that, you know, while we were yet sinner, he will die for us and will continue to die for us, because that's how much he wants to always restore the relationship. God is always in the restoration stage as it relates to mankind. But we grieve him so much that he would say then, amen, I'm sorry today that I made you. That's heavy, brother.
That is heavy, man. That's real heavy. And so I got to pose the question now. You know, we got to throw the question out to the brothers to think about and ponder on this one here. How do we as men in the game express our creativeness and thought, our creativeness and thought, without losing ourselves to sin and grieving God? I pause for the answer. I'm going to repeat the question again just so that it sinks in. The question is, how do we as men that were formed in the image, express our creativeness in thought, okay, and without losing ourselves to sin and grieving God? So we already laid out the foundation. We were formed in the image. We laid out the foundation that God wiped at the sin. He sent a flood. It didn't take long for that to happen. But I'm so glad that he showed his grace and his mercy, and that his that he gave us a second chance. In fact, he's given us more than just second chances. So, but at what point, now that we live in the culture that we live in, where everything is whatever we want to be, is do you, do me, I'm going to enjoy this process, and we think about what happens, so how do we express ourselves and our creativeness and imagination and image without it becoming a sinful desire of lust? I mean, let me just be real. I'm a man. So it's not that I don't see things. Okay, so I see it, but now that I see it, I have a choice in the matter. So now here's the thing. I'm going to see it with my eyes, or I may hear it with my ears. That's like, you know, it's nothing like, now this is a challenge, fellas, because we know it's summertime, and we know that some ladies don't know what it means to be dignified, don't know what it means to be sanctified, and so even yet she may be covered, but yet she may be exposed.
Come on,
and
brother.
So we see her tenderness. We see her tenderness. That may mean her softness of her booty, or whatever. And it's amazing to me that we can have an imagination for her booty, but not a vision for her heart, not a vision for her life. Why is that? You see what I'm saying? So, Ann, let me just be clear. I can recall times back in the day. And let me just be 100. So if we're talking to men, okay? If I'm not careful today, if I'm not careful, because when I talked about thoughts earlier, it was about how it goes back to, in terms of vision, of experiences, all right? Your sum total of your experiences. Well, what I'm glad about is that I met a man named Jesus, and he freed me, that I'm no longer I might have been a product of my environment, but I'm not a prisoner to it. You see what I'm saying? So in that point, how many of you grow up in a project? Yeah, you grew up in a project. You're from the projects. You're from the hood. Okay? Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's where you're from. That is a part of your history. But you can't let your history always predicate your destiny. That's what you may have done something where you made a mistake before. Yeah, you womanized. Okay, that's where you were. But there's nothing today. That's like, you know, we got to take God out of the box. Let's just be 100 with that, Ed. I think a lot of times, because of our thought life, we have this thought that we have the propensity to think that, I was telling a buddy earlier, it's okay if something bad happens, because we're used to bad things happening. But why is it a challenge for us to think thoughts of good, not of evil? like God has in Jeremiah 29:11. And we think, hey, man, it's cool, you know, something bad happens. I went to work, something bad happens. We always talk about the bad. In fact, most of the time, right, Ed, you know, when we at work, I think we are taught this. This is something that is a learned behavior that we have to create the shift, and we have to be cognizant to understand that we already know. All right, first of all, we know that 80% of behavior is controlled by the unconscious mind. And so that means before you even really know what you're doing it, meaning that when you grew up in the projects, you're doing certain things that your parents did unbeknownst to you, even if you don't want to. Remember, Ed, growing up, you say, I'm going to do better than my mom and my dad did for my kids. I'm going to do more. Right? And unbeknownst to you, you're doing the exact same thing in many areas. You're bringing that in because what happens is you haven't created the new image or picture that you want. So what happens, let me say, change it to image, you haven't created the vision that you want. Now, here's the thing. And we know, as we defined it earlier, that the vision is something that is really, that is God-made. God said to me when I was doing this whole subject, man, I was like, I'm struggling with this thing because I want to bring it to the brothers real. I want to give the brothers what they need because this is really for me, a message to me in ministry. And what he was saying is that we are relying so much on man-made concepts that we forget all about biblical and spiritual precepts. It's okay in the culture that we are in now to do all the things that come to our imagination. So if I want to masturbate, it's okay because they say, look, do you. It's all about you. God knows your heart. You know, if I want to do that. But does that make it right? No, it doesn't make it right. It's still sinful. Look, first of all, let me just be real clear. Let me free somebody right now. I ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. So I'm not judging you because I got my own set of challenges over here. All I'm trying to do is drop the message in it because I'm struggling just like the next man, meaning I'm trying to do better so that I don't become bitter in my thought life but all the challenges that come along. Now, here's the thing, brother Ed. So we knew we came from, let's say we came from an environment that was not as conducive to making it out. Let's say a person came from the projects and everything, but they did not have to stay. They may have been a product of it, but they didn't have to become the prisoner to it. And so when you think about your thoughts, thoughts produce reactions in the body. It's a chemical reaction. So when you think about bad thoughts, you know, we go to work and we break things down. We're more critical than we are constructive. And a lot of times that if you're a supervisor on the job or you've been on the job for a period of time, you become cynical because you've seen it for so long and you've done it this way, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. And conversely, you've grown up this way. That was how you grew up as a man. It doesn't mean that how the next man grew up was wrong. And so what we do, now we come into these relationships and we're trying to control her experiences as a sum total of ours. Hey, in math, only two negatives made a positive, but today that doesn't equate the same in relationships. Now, Ed said, said something in the very beginning, God is a relational God. So what that means is that in order for it to be relational, that means there's a level of communication that's going both back and forth in that. So that means in order for me to have, like, hey, we on the phone talking right now, on the call, somebody's got to be listening while somebody's talking, and vice versa. When someone stops talking, then the other person can share because right now they should be in active listening mode. And let's drop it like it a little bit hotter on them. Let's talk about some of the bad thoughts that come to mind. And see, folks, I learned this a long time ago and I went to a revival, and I'll never forget. The bishop said, if you don't control your thoughts.
Come on, brother.
Your thoughts. Control you. I was probably about 25 when I heard that message. Add 10 years to that, you know, 9 years plus now. That message has resonated with me because I think about it. You know, I go to work, and sometimes, you know, some of us get up and we go to work doing something that we don't want to do because we know God has had a better plan and a purpose for us. We just hadn't found that purpose yet to be free of that. And so we struggle with our thoughts, trying to get ourselves prepared for the day ahead. In fact, we struggle with our thoughts while we're in the moment. I say sometimes, man, just help me so that I don't curse somebody out. And I don't curse. You see what I'm saying? I don't curse, but that doesn't stop my thought life from happening. You see what I'm saying? So when it comes up, I can choose to respond to the situation, brothers, or I'm going to choose to react to it. So I have a choice. Bad thoughts, Ed. Let's jump into it. You got some notes on bad thoughts?
Here's what. Before we even get to the bad thoughts part, brother. Here's what it is, man. Most of us men, tonight is men talk. Most of us men, we allowed ourselves to be led by our thoughts. You know, and not that, you know, we allowed our thoughts rather to control us, as opposed to us controlling our thoughts. Throughout history, one of the major downfall of man, M-A-N, is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. Throughout history, one of the major downfall of a man is a woman. And that is only because, well, not only, but one of the reasons control of our thoughts. You know, it goes back to the imagination, brother. And I can see a lady dressing provocatively or whatever the case may be, or maybe even not provocatively. But then, you know, that lady caught my eye, Chris. And so because that lady caught my eye so much that my imagination started to do a marathon. You know, my imagination started to run even faster than Usain Bolt himself. And so that imagination takes control of me, and I said to myself, I got to get her by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did just that. And later on, like David, there comes a consequence. And like David, we want to send somebody to the forefront of the battlefield to eliminate the sin or the situation that we have committed. There is nothing at all wrong with imagination or thoughts, but they are good one, they are bad one. For men, the core of our bad thoughts oftentimes centered around women, because women become our downfall. And until we take control of our thoughts and run like who did that? Joseph? You know?
Joseph, yeah.
Run and said, how can I commit this sin and commit this act and sin against my God? You know, and in order for us to say no to the negative thoughts that we're having, we ourselves, Chris, got to die daily. We have to surrender daily because we can't do it by ourselves. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It is our nature to sin. It is our nature to want to do sin. It is our nature to have all those bad thoughts. But in order for it to be overshadowed with the good one, we have to say, God, right now my sinful nature is in control. And I don't want to do that. So I need to surrender myself to you so that you can take control of my life. And so if until we can do that, Chris, we will always fall prey to bad thoughts.
Yeah. And there again lies the same statement. If you don't control your thoughts are going to control you. And that's the key right there. And so when we think about that thought life, there's a lot that comes to it, and you don't even realize it because we're talking about that unconscious piece that happens, and it's unbeknownst to you. So whether you're dealing with a situation, you ever find yourself, Ed, when you talk to a family member, let's say it's a family member that you've got a history with, every time a certain thing comes up, there's a thought that immediately comes to mind when you're dealing with that. And sometimes you just want to just like, you know what, God, you feel like kirking out about them. So that there's a thought that immediately comes there. And what happens is that's releasing chemicals into the body. These chemicals are already there, but it happens to stimulate. In some cases, it overstimulates the body. You know, so there are some bad chemicals that are released. And I want to touch base on that for you for a little bit because I don't think that we realize that Dr. Caroline Leaf always said that 80-85% of human sickness, it's mental. It starts in the mind. And so here's one of those things. If you got cut by a knife, right? You got cut, And sometimes you could have a cut and not even realize it, but the moment you see the blood, it does something to you.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? It's something that happens when you see the blood running. Immediately what happens is a stimulation, it's a stimuli that's released into the body, and it's a level of adrenaline that gets pumping, it's cortisol that gets moving throughout the body, and then you got the norepinephrine that's released as well. All those are three things that right there mixed together can be a lethal combination that can produce depression. It can produce a number of other mental health issues that go along in the body, because what's happening is this: you're not controlling the thoughts. You're letting the thoughts control you. And so if you don't feed that thought, so going back to my statement earlier, what God spoke to me is the problem that we're allowing man-made concepts to take over spiritual principles. God says that if we apply his word is the truth, and we know that the truth is not on trial, nor does it need a defense. And so what we really have to do is apply the scripture to the situation. And there's no situation, Brother Ed, that's bigger than our God. But oftentimes
on,
we put God in a box and make the situation a focus. So yeah, you got you're sick. You spoke that into your life now. And so, yeah, you had a bad day. So now you spoke that you have a bad day. What are you speaking and claiming in your life? And so, brother, what we have to do, if we're going to be the priest of the household, if we're going to be the spiritual priest in the cover, see, women don't mind. I always say this. Women don't mind following. But if your car is parked for too long, bro, there's a problem. Houston, we got a problem. She's not going to walk home or park car. So that means you got to put your car in drive. And you guess what? You got to have an idea and a clarity of where you're going. That means you got to know what your vision is. In order for you to have vision, you got to have provision by the Creator himself. That means you got to have a relationship like Ed and I were talking about. And it is an ongoing thing. See, salvation doesn't happen overnight. It is a process in order to get there. Same with the salvation is the acceptance of it, but the sanctification is that process, okay? And so you're going through a process. And what happens is we get frustrated along the way, or also we see things because we've had it this way for so long. I run into buddies who've been, you know, they're still playing. You know, they're still playing games. And so they get frustrated with women because when a woman steps on and says, you know, hey, look, I'm not about playing the game, and they want to make her a playmate, then they get frustrated because they want to get serious all of a sudden. Well, great. Well, your MO the whole time was you was the player. Now, all of a sudden, you found one that you feel a little heartbroken. You ain't really heartbroken. You're just upset that your penis can't get wet right now. That's the real deal. You know what I'm saying? Hey, bro, we're talking amongst brothers, so I can just keep it 100 right here. You're really more frustrated about that because you made it about you, not about the process. If you spent more time focusing on God and less time in the face of a woman, you would see and experience God move in your life to bring you the right one. He'll open your eyes and expose you to a world of truth that you have never seen before. But the problem is that we're relying on our natural man, our natural instincts and our imagination, the lust of the flesh and the desires of the eye that we see to take us and to lead us. That's the imagination. And that's where God wiped out, because of the imagination of man and all the sinful things that were going on. He said, hey, we got to restart this thing here. Some of y'all, brothers, we need a restart, a reboot, because the way we've been doing things, it's not healthy, it's not holistic. And the problem is we've been displaced in the family. And so now, yeah, we know the Women's Liberation Movement, a lot of different movements have created a lot for women to be equal in a sense, and rightfully so to some degree. But here's the thing: you can't lose who you are and be replaced as a result of that. We got to stay true to what God called us to do, and He called us formed, and He formed us first in His image, and He called us out of darkness and into the light. And if we're going to be kingdom soldiers, we got to be ready to put on the full armor. We got to have the full armor on, and we got to control our thoughts. So let's talk about it. Let's break this thing down. What are these toxic thoughts? And so now this may apply to both men as well as women, but when we think about this whole imagination and these thoughts thing, these are some thoughts that you need to drop, okay? And I'm going to share some of these pieces right here. And if we're going to have a better life, we got to, number one, you got to stop acting like a victim. You got to stop acting like a victim.
Come on, brother.
Look. There are so many opportunities that lie before you, but so often the moment something bad happens, you start going back in the victim mentality. No, you got to overcome that. You overcome it by the blood of the word, the power of the testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, you overcome it. So you can't say I'm saved and sanctified, but yet you act like a punk. You see what I'm saying? You'll step to the man when it comes to being on the street, but you won't pick up your Bible when you get in the word. You see, and so that's not going to necessarily work. So no wonder why when you face a woman who is independent, okay, you can't handle her. You can't handle her truth because you have no word for the situation. You're trying to give her your life and your experiences, and she's looking for a word of truth that's going to water that down. You have to, the Bible says, we wash her by the cleansing of the word. And so in order for you to be able to lead, guide, profess, and protect, in order to do that, we got to really be true to our own self, be true, and know where we are. And guess what? Even if you're not ready, God will lift you up and elevate you. I mean, you look at it this way. My daughter is turned 16, right? Now, she just couldn't just start driving right away. There's a process in order for her to, before she gets the license, she's got to get the permit. She's got to do some things. There's some requirements, brothers, that we, in order for God to give us the blessing, there's some requirements that have got to come first. You know what I'm saying? And number one is that rightful relationship with Him. And that is one requirement. The second requirement is that we get into, in that relationship, we get in the Word and we study to show ourselves approved. And so that we know that when we do, we'll start to see things happen. And then you'll find yourself being connected. You got to connect. You can't be an island by yourself. You got to connect with brothers like I'm connected to Ed. Ed's connected to David. And so it is like-minded brothers that sharpen and strengthen one another. And we're not relying on our own laurels and our own laurels. We're trying to, you know, walk this thing day by day with the struggles that come up. You need a man that can, we always talk about the Paul and the Barnabas, but you need a brother that you can call on that can mentor you. You need a brother that you can call on that can give you the word and be like, yo, man, nah, bro, you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? That can challenge you as well, because if you always right, come on now. You know, that, that something wrong with that picture. So the first point we talked about was you got to stop acting like the victim and having a victim's mentality when things don't go your way, okay? Now, second thing is we want to talk about thinking that you can change other people. You can't. So if you want a better life, you got to stop thinking that you can change. No, look, you can't save a person and you can't change a person. That's God's job. So the only thing that you can do, if you come to the dance and something's wrong, I always tell my fiance all the time, I don't try to be her Holy Ghost. If God gives me something, right, He may drop it on me, and I drop it, and I keep it moving. Because at the end of the day, it's not my job to water the seed. My job might have been only the messenger to plant the seed. You got to know what your job is, fellas. You see what I'm saying? You know your job. No one can take that away from you. Look, Michael Jordan undoubtedly during his day was one of the greatest basketball players ever to walk the face of the earth. We know that. Today, it's LeBron James. LeBron didn't try to play something that he was not. LeBron plays in his role. He makes everybody else better. Our job as this quarterback or as this the key conduit, the rainmaker of this family, the rainmaker of the house, is to be the conduit to bring it all together. All right, let me put this in my own plain English. Okay, fellas, so right now I'm engaged, I'm going through the process of now becoming one as with my fiance as well as with my children. Now, I was married previously, so I have two girls. Now, here's the thing. I ain't never been down here before. Don't know what it's like. I do know what it's like from the experience of the pain of my past. The pain of my past when my mother and my father were divorced and that experience. Yeah, I can reference the pain. But I said, I don't want that to be my picture. God, give me a fresh purview so I can have a new perspective on it. Okay, follow me where I'm going now. So in order for me to get somewhere different and not repeat the history of my past, I had to say, God, I'm seeking you for answers because I can't do it the way they did it.
Come on, brother.
For me to do better, I can't be bitter. I have to get into the face of God and say, God, look, for you I live and for you I die. I just want to understand, what must I do to be the man that is respected? Now, here's the thing. Respect is something that is earned. So I'm earning my respect from, you know, everybody here. But in order for me to earn it, fellas, I got to man up. Now, let me put that in plain English. That means I'm in my word every day. So that's a visual thing. I'm doing my thing in church. They can see that. I'm living my life as a living legacy in that. I'm not doing as I say, but watch what I do. No, I'm being truthful to thine own self, be true, and I'm being steadfast and abased in the will and the word of God. Okay? So that's part of the process for me. Now, here's number three. What we got to do, Brother Ed, thoughts that constantly resist us, is what is. Okay, so some things you can change. You know that. In fact, a lot of things, really, brothers, you can change. But you can lose weight. You can find a better job. You can go back to school. You can work on your marriage. But there are some things that you just can't change. And those things are simply what it is. You can't change the other your boss. If your boss is a jerk, his boss is a jerk. You can't change jobs. You know what I'm saying? Right now might not be the right time to change jobs. You can't change the fact that they have to pay, you know, that you got to pay rent or you got to pay mortgage. You can't change that. But you can stop resisting it. Resisting the unchangeable does nothing more than frustrate you. So why walk around being frustrated? We already talked about the three types of chemicals that get released in the body when you get frustrated. So here's the thing. Now, ladies, I just dropped something for you, too. Our frustration leads us to do things that the unconscious controls. I notice when I get frustrated, this I ain't gonna tell you all my business. When I get frustrated, there are things that I want to do that are sinful. Okay? Wink, wink. So, but that's real. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to minimize your frustration, then sometimes you just got to say this is what it is and accept certain things as they are and stop trying to worry about, number one, changing others. Well, that was number two, changing others, and just say this is what it is. That was number three. Ed, you with me so far, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. Because and here's before you get on to the other numbers,
yes,
Doc.
Sir.
Here's what it is. A lot of times we find ourselves, men, we find ourselves leading in our relationship because God called us to be leaders. We're leading a flock, not understanding what leadership role is. And the reason why we're not understanding what leadership role is because we never tap into the resource that teaches us as to what leadership should look like. We have a big problem with surrendering or denying self, because once we do that, you know, it's interfering with my manhood. It's interfering with my ego. It's interfering with my masculinity. You know, if I am a leader, I'm a leader. Why is it, you know, and so we talk about the servant leadership thing, right? Why is it that I need to be a servant in order for me to lead? But guess what? In order for me to get a bachelor's degree, come on, Chris, I need to go to school, go to college and learn some things that I knew nothing about. Someone else knows, or a couple of professors have more knowledge about something that I need to get to better my life moving forward. And in order for me to achieve that, I first have to subject myself to the professors and to whatever college that I'm going and understand, learn. And as I learn that, I will take that, maximize it and present myself to the world. I can't, if I were to go inside a professor's class and said, well, I'm the man, I was born a leader and I know what I'm talking about without having a clue, how far would we get in life? You know, so for any men that are out there listening right now, in order for you to be an effective leader, you first need to surrender, subject. You need to be a servant, because that's the only way you're going to learn and understand it so you can impart it to your family and lead accordingly. And we were talking about imagination. We're talking about vision. You have to imagine a relationship with someone that is greater than you and I. And in imagining that, you have to now envision it and let it come to fruition so that you can be an effective leader for your household, because outside of Christ, brother, you will be just surviving. I can tell you that. Now, a lot of people may not be in agreement with me because, not everybody is a Christian and some people are great leaders in the house. Let me tell you this. Everything is now tied up in relationship. And God-made relationship. It's just like me, Chris, I have enough money to purchase a Lamborghini. And if I were to go and purchase a Lamborghini, but I'm going to say it, I have a Hyundai Accord manual, and I'm going to use that Hyundai Accord manual to service and maintain the Lamborghini. I can guarantee you beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's only a matter of time that Lamborghini will stop working. It's the same thing with relationship. God designed relationship. He is the blueprint. He don't have a blueprint. He is the blueprint. And in order for me to understand relationship as it relates to mankind and impart it to my family, my children, etc., I first need to understand God. And as I subject myself to His will, He's teaching me what is expected of me in relationship. I then, in turn, impart that to my family.
Hey, that is so key, man, to this whole thing. And we talked briefly, you know, as we were talking about the meditation, we mentioned sex a little bit earlier. I want to back up for a second. And one of the three points out, talking points that I wanted to talk on is, why is sex so good to us as men, but bad for women? I want to address that for a second. It's good to us, but here's the thing. For a woman, she'll fall in love. For a man, he'll never get enough. And here's the thing. When you feed the flesh, right, because God designed sex to be a good thing in the very beginning. He designed it amongst a man and a woman that were husband and wife, though. And so what happens over time before he washed it out is that because we were just doing anything. You know, anything goes, and that's where the culture we live in now, just anything goes. It's okay, cool, do you, hey, whether it's man or woman, however you want to get down with the get down, you know. And at the end of the day, so why is it so good for us as men but bad for women? Well, the reality is because it's a lustful spirit that gets on it and gets into it. And so that means that when the lust is involved, it can never get enough. And then the spirit can never have enough. And so you always got to have it. And it's got to be more, and it's more, and it's never good enough. You had it this way, and it's always, because what it does is sex releases a powerful, it's an oxytocin that it releases in the brain. And so now that chemical is released, and it's like up to 5 times strong, man. That oxytocin is no joke. And then it releases other endorphins into the body and into the brain. And so that's the love hormone. Now, you always don't fool yourself, man. Many times I try to, you know, be like, oh, it's just a kiss, you know, or whatever the case may be. You got to know your limitations, man. I'm going to tell you right now, because at the end of the day, that thing, it's once that chemical is released in the brain. Now let me parallel this, though. I just want to be real clear. Whether it's sex for you or whether it's frustration or whatever that chemical that you're releasing oftentimes to in your body. So whether you know, whether it's the sex that you're doing or you just get frustrated over every dang old thing or you're a constant complainer over something, just know that your body's releasing a negative chemical too. So if you always wonder why you're always frustrated or you're emotionally drained or you know what, it's because you're doing it to yourself because you're not controlling your thoughts. Now, here's the thing. Some of it needs to be treated. I get that. That's true. But some of it is self-induced, and most of it is, if you look at Dr. Caroline Leaf, if you pull her up, This Gift in You, she talks about that. I'm not a neuroscientist, but she talks and breaks that thing down and understanding how those things work and how the good tree versus the bad tree. So if you take good thoughts that you have, okay, here's an example. I'm going on vacation on Wednesday. Man, I got a rack of good thoughts coming to mind right now. You see what I'm saying? So I get a chance to get out. I get a chance to just break. No calls, no nothing. I don't have to put out a fire. I don't have to answer anybody's issues. I can relax for a minute, right? So I have a lot of good thoughts. Now, in the midst of getting to the vacation, I'm just trying to get there one day at a time. So there are some challenges that I got to go through. But you know what? It's amazing when you have hope, which you're willing to go through. So now I just said something right there. Fellas, we got to make sure that we don't take out hope for a woman in the midst of our pain. We can't act out on our issues that we never got addressed from our daddy pain or our mama pain or the woman who broke our heart, and we can't keep taking that out on women and breaking them. because all that does is makes them bitter. And so they think they got a good man when they really got a broken heart. And the man is not emotionally available. Now, ladies, let me just throw this out there. Don't think just because he's there, he's emotionally ready, he's emotionally equipped. He may not be. And it don't take much for him to lie down with you. It don't take much for him to come home. But when he's emotionally not there, he's checked out. Just a little view. When a man is emotionally not there, he has checked out. So, yeah, he can lie with you. He can have sex with you. But that don't mean he's going to make love to you. You better know the difference.
Hey, Chris, that statement just reminded me of that song, "Your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town."
Boy, you better go ahead now.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, I'm not going to sing because that's not my gift. I'll just keep talking, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to keep talking. Let me go back, though, to that. We talked about the sex piece. Now, I want to kind of go back to the piece that I had here of, you know, how to detoxify a little bit, having expectations of other people. Listen, if you want to stay frustrated, if you want to stay broken, and you want to stay bruised and confused, keep having your expectations high of other people. Remember, you can't control other people, and what you got to do is minimize your expectations of them. You got to lower that. If not, you're constantly going to be frustrated, and you're going to feel rejected. And so what does that do? Again, it releases toxic thoughts into the body, and those toxic thoughts you act out on it unbeknownst to you. Now, I heard Bishop Jakes talking about this one time. He was saying, you know, it's one thing to be in a room with someone that you know is abusive, right? You sit down and you counsel, and you've counseled with couples, whether it's abusive verbally or abusive physically. And it's another thing for the perpetrator to just be like, you know what, yeah, I didn't do it. But you know they did do it. See, here's the thing. They've been doing it so long that they've accepted that as their norm. So guys, what you got to realize is that this is your pattern. This is your pathology. And you've been doing it so long that this is all that you know. I bind the devil from the pit of hell. That is a lie, and we rebuke it, and we send it back from whence it came. That is not. And you are more than a conqueror. You are a kingdom man. You are called for a purpose greater than what you're walking in right now. And your situation of where you are is not your end result. We rebuke that right now. So, yeah, you may be struggling. You may be on Fonzalo Boulevard, but don't give up. Don't quit. But things go wrong as you sometimes will, and the road you're trudging seems all uphill. When the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. The care is pressing you down a bit. Rest if you must, but don't you dare quit. And I just want you to know, don't give up on hope. Don't give up on God, because God won't give up on you. And at the end of the day, the best is still yet to come. And you got to tell yourself that. I know it may not be. Look, hold on. Let me just get real raw. I can recall it wasn't but a year ago when I didn't have a job. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a job. I was broke, bruised, busted, and confused, but I knew Jesus, and I stayed connected to him through this relationship because he was taking me through a process. I can recall when I made great money compared to what I'm making now, but I look at where I am now, and I'm right where he would want me to be. Fellas, you got to stop blaming your past and all those things and saying, well, I could be. No, God will never put more on you than what you can bear. And he's got you right where he wants you because he's pressing you, pushing you, and shaping you into something better. But you can't see it because your eyes aren't open. You can't see it because you're not focused on his vision. You're focused on yours. You know what, Ed? We talked about this before. And, brothers, I want to just throw out a word of caution. We always talk about these dream boards, you know, and everything. But oftentimes, those are our dreams. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with dreaming. Don't hear me out when I'm saying, hear me out. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with dreaming. What I'm saying is that if the dream is not connected to the vision that God has for you, then it's only your dream.
Come on.
When the dream gets connected to God's purpose for your life, you will reach your destiny. And that's the thing right there. We're doing something. We're good imitators. We're on social media. We got great relationships, synthetic relationships at that. We think just because we got a like, don't be fooled and bamboozled by a like to think that you're doing something. You see what I'm saying? All that you see on social media mostly is the imagery, the lust, the imagery of what people want you to see. So it's not necessarily all the good. It's not all the indifferent. It's not all the ugly. You see, it's mostly just it's a facade. Hey, look at me. We're having a great time. Don't judge your life based on somebody else's story. You'll fool yourself saying, well, man, no, fellas, let me just caution you again. Don't do it. So listen, point number seven is feeling that you always need to prove that you're right. That's something dangerous, guys. Humility is something that we all need, men as well as women. So if you feel as though that you're having a conversation and you're in it, you always have to be right, I would challenge you to check yourself on that. That means that you're going to always be confrontational, maybe argumentative at the end of the day, Ed, and you're going to argue it down to the last word. You ain't always got to have the last word.
But you know what? At the end of the day, brother, you're going to be by yourself. You're going to be by yourself because when you become confrontational or, you know, argumentative, after a while, nobody don't even want to say hello to you. Nobody want to ask you, hey, Chris, how was your day today? It may just turn out into an argument, so, you know, people will just pass you by, bro.
Pass you by. And that's it. And speaking of people passing you by, say this with me. So what? Let it go. So what? Let it go. If somebody passes you by, you can't get caught up in the feeling that you got to worry about what other people think. You cannot, and women, I'm going to set you free too right now. You cannot always worry about always trying to look your bestest, you know, with your makeup on, your hair always got to be did, your nails got to be done. You know, but sometimes it's good to see a little bit of raw and real. And that's the problem with the culture now that we see. We don't know what's real. You see what I'm saying? Someone's trying to just find well, I got to be careful with this one. Fellas may be looking for certain things, but fellas, you better check it all out. All I'm just saying, I'm going to leave it at that. You better check it all out. Because everything, now I'm not saying test the water. What I'm saying is check it all out. You know what I'm saying? And so don't think sexually. If you just went sexually, I wasn't talking about that. So nonetheless, stop worrying. I'm going to free you. Stop worrying about what other people think. Who cares what they think? You know, at the end of the day, it's about your relationship with the Creator, God Himself.
Yes, sir.
You know, so at the end of the day, so what? If they judge you, they judge you, but they ain't got no heaven or hell to put you in, you know? So free yourself from that spirit of, well, what does mama think or what does daddy think or what do my friends think? Okay, so, and, you know, at the end of the day, that's what they think, you know? And so, look, I try not to get caught up in that end. You know, sometimes you want to seek for validation in some areas of your life, but that's not one that I ultimately seek for. You know, you might say, hey, check this out. What are your thoughts on this or that? But other than that, am I living for me or am I living for them? I'm living for me. And I'm trying to do that to the best of my capabilities. That's one day at a time. So number nine, thinking there's only one right and one wrong. Okay, so, you know, we live in a world, at the end of the day, there's an objective reality. But guess what? Objective reality is an illusion. You know, it doesn't exist. So only subjective realities do. So what one person thinks, that's maybe their truth, you know. It's not the truth for someone else. So, look, I always say this. At the end of the day, fellas, when you're in a relationship, okay, with a woman, I would say it like this. If this is our coloring book, and at the end of the day, we're coming together as husband and wife to become one. So no matter what your life experiences were, your past, your pains, or your upbringing, we're coloring in this coloring book, and we create the colors. That means we set the rules. So, fellas, sometimes you got to get real raw. Like, hey, look, that's great. That's what they did. But this is for me. You know, the saying is, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So that means you create your own rules, your own boundaries, and you got your own swag. And that's how you got to drop it. Now, you ain't got to always, you know, do it in a dogmatic way. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying you just got to know your players so that you can make sure that you deliver the message the best way possible. That's all I'm saying on that one. You know, one of the other pieces that we do, Ed, is that when we almost done with the point here too, worrying about the future. We worry about the future because we feel unprepared. And that's a key thing. Worrying is like praying for what you don't want. Oh, that was good. Worrying is like praying for what you don't want. Let me say that again because somebody didn't get that with clarity. Worrying is like praying for what you don't want. If you call yourself a man of God or a woman of faith, what you worrying for? Why are you worrying, praying that into existence? You can't live your life worrying about it. Yep, it happened, or yep, this didn't come. But I always say, think about what you want it to be, not what you don't want it to be. Don't successfully project something that it's not. Focus on the good. of what you want to see. Is it glass half full or is it glass half empty? It's your choice of how you see it. But at the end of the day, if you focus on worrying about the glass, you've missed the mark.
Yeah.
So, and if you believe, you know, and if, especially if you believe in the power of prayer, then you know that sending up your, you know, your thoughts and emotions into the in, into the universe of God works. You know, it's contradictory, because if you're saying I believe by faith, but yet I'm worrying and I'm in excessive worry, where is that God? You know, we say God has not given us a spirit of fear, not at all. So why are you up here acting like a punk? You see what I'm saying? Put on your big boy shoes, your big boy pants. Put your belt on. For the young men listening, put your belt on, pull your pants up, and man up to the word of God.
Yes.
Ladies, if you're listening, same thing. Don't be no little sissy. You got to know, if you say that I'm a believer by faith, then faith is what you can't see. Faith don't give you the answer. Faith gives you the test, and it will prepare you for building your character, like Ed said earlier. So, and here's the thing. Reality check, money don't equal happiness. Okay, money can buy you some things that you can do a lot of things with, but here's the thing, that these are all the thoughts that we got to challenge and get rid of. Money doesn't necessarily equal happiness. We live in a capitalistic culture that, you know that values money and achievement. Oh, that's great. This is good. We think about people who have a lot of money, and we think that we'd be, because they had a lot of money, and we live our life through reality TV now, we'd be better off if we had a little bit of money. You know, when I talked about that blessing earlier, when I used the analogy with my daughter and going and driving, if she got the blessing too early, she wouldn't be able to handle it. Sometimes God knows exactly where you are and what you need when you need it. You just got to believe that. And so if this is where he has you, then you got to know, like Paul would say, man, and look, this is where I am, dog, but I know the best is still yet to come. Remain hopeful and optimistic so God can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because if you can't be a good steward over what you have right now, then at the end of the day, yo, bruh, you know what I'm saying? Reality check is, you know, would God be pleased? You know, so stop living your life trying to live your life through your friend or whatever. Live in, within your means. As a banker, and I see this all the time. Now, I'm in an area in a demographic where quite a few people are, you know, in a sense that the culture of they are, they believe in saving. They believe in having trust accounts. They believe in that. That's the environment that I'm in. Now, if I were in a different environment, I don't want to say it's been a more urban environment, but it's a different thought and cycle, thought process around how we see money and how money comes through our hands. We know that to be the truth, you know. But yet that doesn't mean that's where we have to stay. So we have to challenge and rechannel our energy. I always say this, Ed, we've got to repackage the things. If you're doing some work in a house, right, and let's say we're going to tear down some walls, then what we have to do is put up some new drywall. So what we're doing, Ed, we're reframing it. Guys, all I'm saying to you now, you got to reframe some of those thoughts right now. And so Ed, here's the thing. Now, in the midst of when you build a house, you have what's called a load-bearing beam, and then you have some beams that are not load-bearing. So that means you can move the beams that are not load-bearing. Fellas, you are a load-bearing beam. That means where you are in that house, as the man of that house, you are not built to be moved. You are built to be steadfast, abased, and abound, and that's where you are supposed to be. You are the bedrock. You are the one who speaks life into your household and into your family, because you are the load-bearing beam. That means God built you for the test. Get ready. So here's the thing.
That need an organ.
I appreciate that, brother Ed.
That need an organ.
Hey, that's good to know, man. I don't know if I still have an organ, man. You know, I'm sure I got the organ somewhere else, but you know, that's it. How about I just give it a little football, little piece?
Yeah. Give it something, brother. That's it.
Yeah. All right.
That was good, man. Listen, man, you touched on something earlier in your statement. You know, when you touch a little bit on the faith part of it, and one of our biggest problems, Chris, is that a lot of us have faith. You know, we claim that we have faith. You know, but the Bible tells us faith without work is dead. You know, and if we go back to the Bible and look at everybody, you know, that I can remember that Jesus may have done something for, create some miracle or something, you know, that person had to do something. the man with the leper, he had to go down to the river and he had to dip seven times. You know, he could have dipped one time but Jesus told him seven times, and so he had to dip seven times. The crippled guy, you know, Jesus says to him, "Okay, bro, since you believe, take up your bed and walk." You know, so and the other guy, you know, that wanted to be healed, God, you know, his friends had to let him down through the roof to come in. So what I'm saying in essence is that there is an action. There's something that must be done on our part. I can't just say that I have faith, I believe, and I stand still. I sit down waiting for that miracle to happen. That miracle is only going to happen whenever I position myself, whenever I do what God is asking me to do. You know, and it's very, very important that we understand that. So, you know, someone may be out there saying, "Man, I have faith in God, I trust God, and all that stuff." But guess what? God may be talking to you in so many ways and saying, "Bruh, if you just turn on your computer and go to this site, you know, there's a job there waiting for you." You know, or whichever way God is speaking to you, you have to listen. You know, it is more than just faith. You can't talk about, you can't just get shot in your leg or whatever part in your body, and you said, "I have faith that, you know, I'm going to be okay," when God provide an hospital within walking distance or within driving distance. If you drive for the next 5 minutes, you get to a hospital, the doctor do what needs to be done, and they take care of you. You have to apply principles where principles need to be applied. And you just can't just go, you know, all right, the faith without work is dead. And so you just gotta learn to apply it, you know. And Christian, for some reason, you know, I'm impressed to go back to this thing, because we start out talking about imagination, you know, and you know, imagination, it comes in the mind, in your thoughts and stuff. And for some reason, I felt impressed to go back to talk about this thing again, where, you know, I said, watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, because they become your action. Watch your action, because they become habits. Watch your habits, because they become character. Watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. Everything starts with only an imagination. You have control over what imagination comes into your mind. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you as it is in Christ Jesus." And so, therefore, if you want a positive outcome in anything that you're doing, your input must be positive. And that's all I'm going to say right now.
Absolutely.
Brother
Chris. Yeah, no, that's right on point. So, fellas, look. Here's the last point that I'm going to drop to you, and I'm going to make one comment, and we're going to get out the way. Look, you got to stop believing that your past determines your future. You got to. At the end of the day, look, ladies, that's a nugget for you too. I don't care if you were in a situation where your father wasn't there. You got daddy pain and all that, okay? I think that what's significant is that you understand your history and your past. Make it known, because here, let me say this. Let me get my thoughts together, because I'm going to run around with this one. I have a good friend who we talked about the show a couple weeks ago, but I have a good friend that really uncovered her history recently. And so now what's real clear is that she knows who her daddy is. And I think that's important. So understand this, fellas, at the end of the day, you got to know, no matter what your past was, what your pain was of your past, it may not be that you had daddy issues. Daddy may have been a great thing. Hey, shout out, boom shakalaka, okay? Fight on, keep running.
But at the end of the day, you just got to know at the end of the day, your past does not always predicate your future. You have a choice in the matter of what you say, what you do, and what that outcome can look like. Because if you connect to God, God will give you a vision. So just because you came from a poor family, you made some mistakes, you might have went to jail, you might have went to a situation where you didn't finish school, whatever, that's okay. And I need you to get that. I need you to tell yourself that the best is still yet to come and that this is not the end. This is just a comma in the punctuation of where God is taking me to. Stop trying to put a period where God only put a comma or a semicolon, because that means he's got something more just on the other side for you. So you got to get to the point where you can just stop looking at what you're focusing on, because right now your lens is distorted. And being in the Marines, I used to fire a lot of weapons, a lot of different weapons. And one thing we do, we spend a lot of time at the range. And we went to the range, we had to learn how to fire the weapons. Now, we didn't just step up on the range and start shooting the guns. We had to go through training, manuals, sitting up there learning the weapons. We had to learn the weapon before we were able to get up on the range and test it out. So what I'm saying is that, guys, some of you are firing at the wrong targets because your eyes are blurry and your lens is distorted. So what you have to do is you got to dial in a little bit. That means you got to get a little bit closer to God. That means you got to get a little bit more into your word. That means you may have to find yourself reading not only just the King James Version or a New King James Version, an NIV Version. You got to get into a concordance. You got to find a Vines or, you know, dictionary so that you can kind of understand how to dissect the word. Because just if you read it to where there's only words on a page, you're missing the message.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna say that again. Oftentimes, we just read the words. We just read the words. And when you just read the words, you miss the message because you're really not open to the full interpretation of what you're reading. You don't get the full context of it. You know, and so it's taking out of, sometimes we take things out of context. And that's another thing, too. That means just because that's what your history, or now you got a new boo in your life, or whatever the case may be, and he says something or she says something that reminds you of the pain of your past or of that, don't let that pain spoil your promise. Don't let your pain spoil the promise of your future because you were hurt, you were broken. You've got to get to a place to where you say, you know what, I'm going to get better. And in order for me to get better, I'm going to go through one step at a time. Look, for those who are asthmatics, right, folks who have asthma, I've got a niece, she has asthma. And so what happens in order for her to, if she has an asthma attack, there's something that she needs called an inhaler, okay, that will help her with her breathing. All I'm saying is that you got to let God be your inhaler to help you with your breathing, because at the end of the day, what he's going to do is going to open you fully up to something better to come along. Oh, Jesus, thank you. He's going to open you up to something better. And in order to do that, you've got to release. And so when a person who has, they ain't trying to fight you. They just trying to get that inhaler. I just need you to know you got to stop trying to fight God and stop trying to fight him and just say, God, I need you right here, right now, where I am. Yes, I know this was the man who I was. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes, people try to confuse your yesterday with your today and your tomorrow. Again, don't let somebody put a label on you that's not who you are. That means you got to know who you are and whose you are to know where you're going. And in order to do that, you got to get out of your imagination. You got to get out of your imagination because that's the lust of your flesh. When you see that nice-looking young lady coming down the street, you be like, good, googly moogly. You see what I'm saying? So right then and there, you done went somewhere where you shouldn't have gone. Now, again, that's natural. That's to the natural man. But to the spirit man, he's got to control that. So that means that the Holy Spirit steps in and says, you know what, I'm better than that. I'm more than a conqueror. And you got to have a word to overcome that situation, because if not, that situation is going to overcome you. And then you'll find yourself, lo and behold, having images in your head that are not part of the vision that God gave you. Now, I want to say this little piece right here. I'm going to drop this on the fellows, that something I thought that, you know, I missed a little bit earlier in my notes here, but I want to say, fellas, your job is to spend more time leading her and less time blaming her. Spend more time leading her. Lead her to the word of God. Lead her to the word of truth. Lead her in devotion. Lead her in all those areas. And if you spend time doing that, see, here's the thing. Now, ladies, you can't, when he starts to lead you, get out the way. when he starts to lead you, don't point out all his flaws. Because once you point out a man's flaws, guess what? You got to create a safe environment. If he doesn't feel safe in the environment, that means he's not going to feel emotionally secure. That which a man is not emotionally attached to, he's not going to have an emotional or connection with, period. So, yes, he's coming home, but he ain't there. Sing the song, Ed. What does it say?
Your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town.
But your mind is on the other side of town, you know. So, that's really all I got. Now, I would love to open up any comments, questions, anything about the show. If this show has been a blessing to you tonight, hey, certainly shoot me a message. You can do so by joining the Real Talk with Chris Richardson group page. That's on Facebook. If you'd like to make a comment, you can dial in right now. Would be the time, 619-924-0869. There's a thousand different ways I could have taken this message, but I believe fervently that God had me do what I did tonight. So I hope that somebody that heard the message would be blessed by it. I'm excited because I got a chance to share the word of truth and to share with my homeboy, Brother Edward Scissorham Smith. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I'm honored. But if you're out there and you want to make a quick comment before we go, while we're waiting on that, Ed, any closing comments for the folks?
Listen, man, bottom line, man, you know, allow God to lead your imagination, brother. Allow God to lead your imagination, you know, and so your imagination can get to a place where it now become a vision and not only a vision, but it can get out of the mind into and manifest itself into something positive. You know, anything, man, always listen, you know, we're so quick to sin, man, and you know, we always sin with the flesh, you know, and anything, man, fellas, I'm talking to you as I'm talking to myself, man. Before you go ahead and do anything that is in your imagination, man, just think about the residual effect that it may have on you, on the other person or persons. You know, just think about those things, man, and before you make a move, because oftentimes we make move and suffer the consequence later. You know, later on we said that we're sorry. If we can avoid saying that we're sorry, do that.
Right on, brother.
That's
the good word for the day, man. It has been real. I can't follow up behind that, man. I'm just going to say it's been a treat and a pleasure and a plum pleasing measure just to share the message and the word of truth with you. As always, homeboy, so it's 10:23. We're going to bounce up on out of here. Guys, next week we won't have a show. I want to just wish everybody a happy 4th of July as you celebrate the 4th of July. Just remember the independence of what we are really celebrating and enjoy it, you know. So we'll see you in 2 weeks' time from today. So thank you. Good night. God bless, and we'll catch you on the other end.
Good night, brother.
Bye, brother.